This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by BetQL. BetQL is your home for the info you need to make yourself a smarter better. NBA, college basketball, and the NHL, they got you covered. Just go to BetQL.com, promo code SGP30. That's BetQL.com, promo code SGP30 for 30% off. And we're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is the home for the avid sports bettor, providing insights, analysis, and free betting picks. Better Than Vegas, it's like YouTube for sports betting. Make sure you subscribe to our page so you don't miss a pick. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. And we're also brought to you by BetterEdge. BetterEdge is the stock exchange for sports bets. It allows you to buy and sell betting positions like the stock market. The best part is it allows you to bet with no VIG. That's right, no VIG. And it's legal in 40 states. So sign up at BetterEdge.com, promo code SGP for a free $10 bet. That's BetterEdge.com, promo code SGP. All right, welcome back, D-Gens. We're here previewing the WGC Workday Championship at Concession. Very long name. It's Boston Capper, along with the God of God himself, Steve Shermer. What's up, Steve?
I'm okay. I'm certainly not feeling the burn.
Yeah, that sucked, man. Like, especially when he, what was it, nine, when it looked like his ball was going to go out of bounds and it kicked right? Was that 12?
It was 12. And 12. I mean, to recap, I had 125-1 and he was up by three after nine. And then he did exactly what I feared ever since Friday. I was surprised he held it together that long.
Yeah.
He had a nasty two-way miss. He missed it way left on 10, missed it way left on 11 or way right on 11, and then almost hit it out of bounds on 12. It was not good. And I knew right after that, after he sat cross-legged next to his bag, like Jordan Spieth on the range, trying to figure things out, I knew I could throw that in the trap. So.
I
need to call you out, by the way. You tried to mush Sam Burns multiple times over the course of the weekend. It wasn't just that text message you sent me. You did Slack channel, did a couple times. You are Judas, my friend.
Listen, first of all, I definitely wasn't trying to mush him for you, right? So, like, I absolutely wasn't. I forgot that you had him. Like, when I asked that in the Slack, I was like, wait, you're on Burns? Like, that was legit. Oh, you're on Burns. And then, yeah, I mean, I might have been fucking with you a little bit, but fuck, you knew the wheels were going to come off at some point. Certainly not me. It's Burns.
that's just the degenerate in me trying to lash out and trying to blame you instead of...
That's fine. I'll accept it.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations to Max Homa. Humble apologies to everybody. I was not in on Max Homa at all. I thought it was going to come to an end. And you know what? The dude capped off his California swing. I mean, he tore through that, you know, that stretch last year. And he did the same thing this year. And he won. I mean, good for him. I mean, he's likable and, you know, he's a real good down to earth guy. Like if you know his backstory, you know, he's got some mental health issues that he battled with, you know, like trying to keep his card and everything. But he just seems like a genuinely nice guy. And, you know, I mean, he's been hitting the ball great. He's getting about 1.2 strokes of the ball striker over the last four tournaments. And, you know, now we get him off Bermuda, but I mean, good for him. I mean, he's up to 36 in the world. He got himself in this week's field. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He seems like a good kid, man. He was all choked up and, I like how, he was like, it's the city of champions, fucking Dodgers, Lakers, and me now. I was like, yeah, man, fuck yeah.
Well, I mean, he was certainly choked up in the 18th green when he missed that three footer.
Oh my God, dude. I texted you. I don't remember what I texted you. It was probably just like, fucking wow. Like I couldn't believe it. Like, holy shit. Like, listen, I'd do the same exact, I wouldn't even come that close with a pressure putt like that. But for a guy who breaks balls on the internet, like, destroying people's swings, like he's lucky he recovered and took down the tournament.
I mean, he missed that. And then he put his ball right by the tree on 10.
I'm like, I thought he was cooked.
I went to my book. I'm like, how much can I just lay on Tony right now? And then they took it off the board because it just looked like Tony's going to be up and down, but Tony couldn't get up and down. And then he had a terrible iron shot in 14 in the bunker. And, I mean, honestly, it's kind of unfair to Tony that it went to a playoff, because if Max just closed out on 18, we're not even talking about another choke job by Tony. He was great on Sunday.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he was great. He was putting lights out too until the fucking playoffs.
Well, yeah. And then, I mean, he should have got up and down for birdie 10.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he definitely should have.
Yeah, he pushed it 10 feet by and then he's going to hit the putt. And then just, he went for the pin on 14 and it just, he put in the bunker and then he hit a kind of a crappy bunker shot.
It was a crappy bunker shot. He left himself a shitty fucking third shot.
No, our 10 footer. And then, I mean, Max hit a great shot into 14. He just 2-putted for par and that was it. But no, I mean, it's just, that's another one that got away from Tony.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like, what are you going to do? He showed up on Sunday, shot a 64. Most of the time the narrative was that he just didn't play really well on Sundays, right? He'd go out and shoot like a 68 or a 69 and he didn't go out and play his balls off. And he played his balls off on Sunday. Dude just snake bit. I mean, listen, there's worse things in the world, right? But yeah. I feel like if we're outrighting him from now on, like, I feel like you have to top five and top 10 him along with it.
Yeah. I got the best of both worlds when I live bet Max Homa at like plus 125. And then I had the top 10 on Tony and I'm like, oh, well, you know, both cash. Unfortunately, I needed Tony to win it in order to take down the SGP DraftKings contest. And, because he finished in second, I lost by 2 points.
Hey, man. It happens. It happens. It was just a bad week all around, man. Like, it was a bad week. All my first round leaders got double bet by accident and they wouldn't cancel the other bets. And so fucking there was 10 bets. I called them back up and I was like, yo, I was like, I hit refresh. I looked at open bets. It wasn't there. My balance was the same. I did it twice. So I was like, fuck it. I guess I gotta put them in again. And then boom, and then 20 cleared. And I was like, oh, what? It was like a 22. I think I had like 11 first round leaders or something stupid. And so I called him. I was like, yeah, these are the same exact bets. And they wouldn't cancel them. I was fucking losing my mind. I was like, you're fucking kidding me. And I was already done with this place. We know who it is anyway. So whatever futures I have left out there is the only thing I'm laying on that. I'm trying to find a local. And apparently I'm going to have to fucking figure out how to use Bitcoin to get on a fucking goddamn bookie site now, because it's impossible. I called my credit union like, hey, I'm trying to make an international purchase, you know, waive this shit, like let it through. I wouldn't happen. Like I was beyond frustrated this weekend, bro. Just beyond frustrated.
I mean, you don't even use Excel. So I can't imagine trying to use Bitcoin.
Listen, yeah. I use Excel. I definitely use Excel. I prefer paper and pen with stuff like this.
You do. You prefer John Nash's beautiful mind.
exactly.
So. All right. I mean, a couple other things. You know, another apology coming from me. You know, I apologized for Max Homa earlier. Apologies to Victor Hovland. He was my big short. And honestly, first round, that went exactly how I thought I was going to go for him. He just could not get anything going. He probably should have been plus two on the day, but he hit a couple big putts in order to, you know, scrape the even. But Hovland was great after that. You know, he had a good weekend. He hit the ball really well. Didn't scramble all that great, but at least gives me confidence in him that at a tough place with tricky greens and really tough areas around the green like Riviera, he can kind of hold it together. So I think that confirms, at least in my mind going forward, that the improvements he's made with his scrambling is actually legit. And that's something to keep in mind this week, because we're going to go to a place that is very demanding around the green, but we'll get to that. And then do you have any comments about the wind delay? I mean, you were kind of MIA all weekend, so I didn't get
Yeah, so Saturday was my daughter's birthday, so I only watched up until like 2 o'clock, and I took her to an escape room, and we did that, and I came back, and the weather was already over, and Tommy came over and showed me that fucking Keegan Bradley putt. I was like, you gotta be shitting me.
Oh, that was awesome. That was great.
I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, if Keegan wasn't such a shitty putter, there wouldn't have been a delay, because that was his fault.
Yeah, I agree.
We're not blaming the wind on that.
Yeah, no, that was just straight Keegs, man. Like, Keegan being Keegan. So, I mean, that was it. So Saturday I had the birthday, so I couldn't be really dicking around on my phone. And then I let my wife go overnight the night before, because she had a big spa day on Sunday. So I was wrangling the kids while watching golf. And I watched. That was just not yelling at children.
Boston Capper is breathing. Don't worry, guys. Yeah. We weren't fighting. It wasn't like, you know, anything like that. So, yeah.
I know. I saw you say something like, I have proof of life. It's fine.
But, no, as far as the wind delay, I mean, I was pissed at your original, because I was looking forward to What's happening? I mean, I put
That was bad, bro. Like, it was just.
Well, the weather conditions weren't bad. It was the golf course setup that they messed up.
Yeah,
I've seen them play in 40 mile per hour winds before, the greens weren't, you know, double cut and rolled and just, you know, like, you know, put on a billiard table, it was fine. But yeah, once I saw a video that balls were moving on the green, you know, I mean, that's. It's too bad, but I mean, it still was a fun day. It was a spicy day. Like, it was still firm and fast. It still gave us everything. Why? I just kind of, you know, ruined a little bit of the afternoon plan. So yeah, it is what it is. But
I was happy that because it was a West Coast tournament, we woke up Sunday morning and we were able to watch the end of the third round. I was perfectly fine.
Sure.
This is a nice little benefit. Laying on the couch, a little hungover with the kids. Like, all right.
There you go. Nice. Works. All right.
This works.
So it's your time to shine. Are you going to declare anybody dead this week?
I don't think so. I really don't.
Well, maybe when we do the DFS report card, maybe that'll spark, you know, jog your memory on some guys.
Yeah, because I was trying to think of somebody who just, like, I think I was just so off with everything as far as, like, outright bets go and, like, even the DFS shit. Like, I couldn't pinpoint my anger towards one person. If anything, just fuck, I was mad at myself.
I did pretty well this tournament. I mean, I didn't hit any of the hours, but most of my props cash, like, I did pretty well in matchups, but most of my DFS stuff was pretty good. Like, I think we were on different sides of the table on a couple of things, and unfortunately,
So, like, the Rory bets killed me. Brooks killed me. Brooks over Finau. Ortiz killed me. I think I hit, like, one of my matchups. And then because I had the family obligations on Saturday and then Sunday, like, I wasn't really, like, firing off live bets like I normally do, because typically that's how I try to cover myself for the weekend. Right. Like, all right, I got to make all my money back from all those fucking missed outrights. You know, you know what I mean? So,
well, I mean, why don't we run through the field? We'll go through the DFS report card again. This is, you know, ownership percentages from the dollar GPP and DraftKings. You know, that's generally where the public kind of goes for their contests. You know, we'll talk about guys who hit, you know, didn't, you know, do so well, you know, any lessons learned. So over $10,000, two most popular guys were DJ and Rom that paid out everybody. But this was a disaster. You had Bryson at 14%. He did the best of the other two of the three stooges in this range. JT at 11.6% and Rory at 10.7%. They all missed the cut. So I want to play a little game with you, though, because these are three big games that surprisingly missed the cut. How concerned are you? So, Rory McIlroy, are you concerned?
Not really. Only because this was the first time I've been back on him in a little while anyway. And I don't know, man. I feel like you just can't panic on him. He hasn't won in like 2 years. That's fucking weird, right? Like, it's got to be coming.
No, I mean, the ball striking. I mean, he didn't have a good ball striking week. He was
What's with really, his wedges?
I mean, those haven't been good in a year, man. That's why
I know, man, but they seemed real bad. That and the putting.
Yeah, the putting was really bad. I think he lost two strokes per round at Riviera. I'm concerned from the standpoint that the putter and the scrambling is now a consistent problem. The ball striking, you know, off the tee and from the fairway has been okay. He cannot get up and down very well, and the putter is a problem.
Yeah.
So
the putter's a big problem. The putter's a big problem for guys.
Like, you think about when Rory is good, it's when the wedges are good and he's putting great, and neither are good right now. So is that going to fix the really hard golf course he's going to come to this week? You know, we'll see. We'll see. But all right, Justin Thomas, how worried are you?
I wonder if this thing is just mental with how close he was to his grandfather. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it was only, what was it? Two, three weeks ago.
Yeah. It happened at Phoenix.
At Phoenix, yeah. So, I mean, I think I'll chalk last week because, I mean, dude, I mean, that had to be his worst performance ever, right? I mean, it's got to be close. If not the worst, it's got to be top three.
Yeah, probably. I mean, probably going back to his rookie year, maybe. But, yes, I mean, he was
frustrated all day on Friday, too. I mean, all day on Friday, he was fucking pissed off. And so, I don't know, man. Like, I'll chalk this if it comes out not looking great again this week, then I'll be worried. But I'm going to chalk it up to just he's still dealing with, you know, grief of losing his granddad, man.
Well, I mean, I didn't like JT coming the week because it just, I don't like him with these really firm, hard golf courses anymore. Yeah. And I mean, they just, That's just what Riviera is now. So, I mean, I think he's going to be fine. He's been kind of streaky with the putter going back for the last year, but I've also seen some good performances out of him lately. That's okay. So, all right. How concerned are you for Bryson DeChambeau?
So I was going to ask you about this. So what do you think about what he did on Friday shooting 4 under? Do you think he figured something out? Or do you think he luck boxed into it? Because we didn't see it because they pulled.
What he did on the back nine, he just went into I don't give a fuck mode and hit driver everywhere. And he actually drove the ball pretty well.
Okay.
But my problem with Bryson is he doesn't seem like he has a plan B when things go wrong. You know, it seems like everything has to be perfect. And I think that's why he went to the range to figure out, all right, why is the driver off? Why are the irons off? When what he really has to do is he has to realize, hey, not every day I don't have a tee to green. So I got to figure out a way to get up and down for par, kind of save myself around the greens, you know, putt well. And it doesn't seem like he wants to focus on it anymore. He seems like he's really just all about tee to green game. So I am wondering, because what happened at Wingfoot really shook me up.
I
was on Bryson this week. I was like, well, you know, he's only gonna break a golf course. And I'm starting to doubt that. And maybe I need to recalibrate and look back at the last year since Bryson did the transformation of where Bryson is actually successful and what is giving him fits. And the three most prominent places that have given him fits are Mirrorfield Village, Augusta National, and Riviera, places that you just can't really have your way with. Right. So that probably is something we need to adapt with him going forward and stop assuming that he can just take a golf course down because he just drives at 350 yards.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that. That's why I wanted to, because I didn't look at any of the data from him on Friday. Like, whatever, I just clicked him off my fucking leaderboard and called it a day.
It was awful. Everything was bad. All right. 9,000-hour range. We were talking about last week how this range has been kind of hit or miss. This week it was mostly pretty good. Again, though, chalk prevailed. Xander, Cantlay, Finau all had about over 20% ownership. You know, Cantlay was good until Sunday. That's just golf. It is what it is. He finished 27th in scoring. Xander was kind of fine all week. But he was 17th. Didn't hurt you. That's fine. Finau was second in scoring. He was great. Yeah. The only one that didn't make the cut in this range was Hideki.
Nobody was on him anyway.
No, he was at 6% ownership. I said on the previous show, he doesn't belong in this range, and he proved it. He just lost.
No, you're right.
You know, Spieth is pretty good. He exceeded my expectations. Brooks was okay. Adam Scott was very good. He had a really hot putting day on Thursday. He was a blah the rest of the week. And then Morikawa, the struggles with the putter continue. And I need to again call you out.
That's my bad.
You have information that a struggling putter is changing his putting stroke. You need to tell me.
Bro, I forget you're off social media sometimes. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know how you get your news. Like, that's how I get my news. Like, I just fucking go on Twitter.
I literally go directly to Golf Digest or Golf Channel or my Google News feed will push golf stories to me.
All right. I'll have some social media notes for you on the betting and DFS shows from now on. We'll call it Steve's social update.
All right. There we go. So he lost, I think, 8 strokes putting this week. That is now 19 strokes lost putting his last two tournaments. That is a problem.
But that's not even his worst. That's not even his worst one. He lost like eight. I read somewhere he lost like 8.2 strokes. What the fuck was it? I can't remember where.
It was somewhere plays last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Last year. Yeah. 8.2. It wasn't even his worst.
Yeah. Now, so I mean, crazy. Where I'm getting the 19 from is Data Golf adjusts for strength of field. So technically it's Saudi. He lost 11 because the field was so bad.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, still, it was awful. I don't know what's going on. He seemed like he figured it out last year. It's a mess. We're coming up to a tournament with diabolical quick greens that are full of slope, full of undulation. He better figure out something quick. So,
yeah.
$8,000 range again. This week killed it. And chalk again. Killed it. Hovland was 22% owned. He finished 6th after starting off pretty slow. Neiman was 15% owned. I mean, he was 2nd going into the weekend. He just had a bad weekend.
He did. A really
it is, what, it is what it is. I mean, if you picked him, you made the right call. Right. It just hits golf at that point. Homa was the winner. He was 12% owned. He was the third most popular. Zalatoris had 11.5% ownership. He was pretty good. Scheffler had 7.7. He's 18th. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about in this range. I mean, the only two that were really bad were Bubba, who he might be just done.
I think he's cooked.
And Matthew Wolf, who
he made the cut somehow.
He made the cut. He torpedoed that Ortiz over Wolf head to head we're on. And then was like, oh, well, now that they lost that bet, now I'm going to suck. He was awful over the weekend. He's not very good.
So they were talking, I can't remember. It was post game on PGA radio. I don't know who the fuck does it, but anyway, so they were breaking down his drives, right? Maybe it was yesterday morning or this morning. What day is today? Is today Tuesday? Today's Tuesday. So it was yesterday.
Right? Today's Monday, buddy.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So the weekend with the kids. Look what it does. So yeah, it was this morning when I was listening to the ride on the ride into work. His driver is just broken now. Like, he's not hitting anything.
No, that's exactly what I said. I'm like, I don't think he knows where the ball's going off.
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
He has no clue.
Yeah, and that is a problem coming to a golf course now where there's a ton of water.
Yeah, that's not great. And sand all over.
And sand, a lot of places you just don't want to be. So he better figure out quick, but it's not great right now. I mean, I always kind of think like, I mean, so far in his young career, he's been really boom or bust. Like, he'll go stretches where he just is terrible for four or five tournaments and then just finish second, fifth, whatever.
Yeah.
But man, like, this is not, it's not very encouraging. So maybe he's got to take a couple weeks off. I don't know. But I mean, I had high hopes for him after what he did last fall and just, it's not great. So, all right. Under $8,000. Who was the most popular guy in this range, you think?
I think it was fucking Ortiz, wasn't it?
It was 19%. Yeah. And I think for the fourth week in a row, the most popular player
just chopped.
Yeah.
Chopped.
In fact, four of the top six most popular players under $8,000 missed the cut. It was Ortiz, Connors at 11.5%, Answer at 11.5. I didn't like Answer at all. He got popular. Oh, I'm not sure why. Yeah. And Sergio missed the cut. Sergio. He was 8.7%.
How was he?
Because he had good course history, he's a good ball striker. So, but I mean, there were some good guys that we mentioned in this range that we liked. You know, Matthew Fitzpatrick, I was very high on. He finished fifth in scoring.
Yeah, he's played real well.
Sam Burns, he was third. He was great. Lanto Griffin was 22nd in scoring. Matt Jones and Molinari were pretty good. They weren't very highly owned, but they did pretty well.
Molly had himself a Sunday.
He did. He almost lost that Rom Top Cannelli.
Yeah, I know. I was sweating the shit out of that bet. Yep. And thank God Rom had a fucking Sunday too.
I know. Rom did pretty well. I mean, unfortunately, Hovland ended up birdie in 17 to dead heat that. But you know what? It's a one bet. That's fine. I'll take it. And then
I texted you. I fucking hammered that shit. I was sweating that fucking bet.
Well, there you go. Hey, you know, ended up winning. So you're good to go. Ricky Fowler, 12th in scoring this week. I had a bone to pick with him. He cost me some money in some in-tournament matchups. And on Saturday, I had Henley over Ricky. And Ricky had two eagles, one where he chipped in and the other, he holed out from 160 yards. Yeah, and on that hole, he holed out from 160 yards. Henley double bogey. So that was a 4-shot swing.
That's a wrap. Yeah.
You can tell but that Henley ended up pushing that back because Fowler just choked it away at the end. Like he always does. But I mean, listen, he ended up gaining 5 strokes putting. So the putter got fixed this week. So
is he using the Scotty blade or what?
I have no idea. I mean,
I will research that for Steve's social minute.
No, I mean, honestly, he'll probably be on PGA Tour live. Well, not this week, but in the future he will be. So yeah. And then, the least most popular player in this range under $8,000 was Alex Noren, who finished 13th in scoring. So
he was the one I was initially sweating the Rom bet over.
But he had
a shitty Sunday. Thank God.
He faded away. So, all right. Last range under $7,000. You called it Doug Gim. Chuck Gim did not make the cut. He was bad. You know, him and Redmond, I think, got, you know, some steam just because of what happened to the USAM. Both of them missed the cut. So that mattered.
Redmond, we talked about this last week. Redmond doesn't look right still.
No, Redmond is unusable at this point. Yeah. So, old man Jim Furyk, that was impressive.
2 weeks in a row, man.
Yeah, he didn't make a lot of birdies, but I mean, listen, he's 6,400 bucks. He finished 50th at a golf course that probably should not have fit him.
No.
You know, that was pretty good. Matthew Neesmith at 6%. He continues to play really well. I've been dying to just kind of fade him, but the ball strength is just really good. Maybe he's just a good player. Maybe that's who he is. So Sebastian Munoz is back. He finished 39th in scoring. He was pretty good. Wesley Bryan, your boy. That was a good call by you.
Yeah.
31st in scoring. You know, let's see. Patrick Rogers. That was a guy you liked.
Yep.
He's really good. And then I apologize, actually, looking at this list. I apologize to you. You asked about CT Pan. And I said, no, hard pass.
Hard pass.
He finished 7th in scoring this week.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, like I did, obviously, I mean, they didn't show him a lot on the coverage.
I think he had a really good Sunday.
Yeah, he did. And so that's what I was going to say. Like, he was middling towards the back end. And then I think he had a good Sunday. Yeah, what do you think about Rahm's good Sunday? Cause they didn't show him a whole lot, right? Cause he was out of contention. So this is a thing I think about, right? So he was out of contention. There's no pressure. And all of a sudden he's playing lights out.
He tends to do that too. Like he's
like a top five.
I remember a couple times last year. Yeah, he finished T5. I remember a couple times last year after the restart where he just was out of it and then would have this, you know, he would go from like 30th to like 7th on Sunday. And then everybody would get excited about him next week. He wouldn't do well. But I mean, looking at his stats, I mean, the ball striking was great. He scrambled well. He still lost strokes putting. So. I don't know. I mean, if he gained strokes putting on Sunday, I probably would have been a little more excited because I'm like, all right, you know, maybe now he can figure it out. I don't know. It's still an issue. So, but no, that's it. I mean, any other takeaways? I mean, I feel like we hit a lot of guys who were pretty good. There were a couple of calls I wish I could take back, but you know what? Hey, listen, that's gone.
That's week in, week out. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we have to fade the 7K chalk at this point.
That's automatic.
Yeah, auto fit.
That's easy to identify. Well, that's easy to identify too, because everybody talks about the same ones every week.
I know.
So everyone said Ortiz, or everyone said Connors. Connors had a lot of popularity. I didn't understand it because he can't putt. No, he hasn't picked a short game either. So,
no,
those are the ones who, when people talk a lot about that, just go away.
Yeah, we'll try to bring these back up when we talk tomorrow, throwing the red flags at certain players and categories. So before we let Steve break down the course here, listen, you want to get an advantage over the sports book when it comes to betting? You need to download BetQL, the only app you'll need to make smart bets. BetQL has sharp data for college basketball, NBA, and the NHL. So if you want an inside edge for who the pros are backing, you need to check out BetQL. Plus, they have a ton of sports books offers in your states. So head over to the App Store or Google Play Store and download BetQL. Head to BetQL.com and enter promo code SGP30 for 30% off your first subscription. That's promo code SGP30 at BetQL.com. So I don't know how scratchy my voice sounds over the line, but the pollen is pretty thick down here in Florida right now. So my allergies are just like insane.
Yeah. Well, you know what's thick up here? All the snow and ice.
Yep. I'll take the pollen. Thanks,
Paul. Okay, there you go. So, all right. Well, I mean, before we talk about the golf course, why don't we highlight some, you know, interesting players of the field? I mean, obviously, it's a WGC, all your studs here. You know, I think everyone in the top 10 in the world's here. I think the only real notable or, you know, noteworthy guys to talk about are all the guys who played over in the Middle East on the Euro Tour that are now back stateside. So, Tyrrell Hatton, he makes his 2021 debut here. He won the Abu Dhabi Championship. I mean, he's just playing great. He's won 4 times the last 22 starts. You know, ever since he came back from injury, man, he's good. I mean, that's your spirit.
I know. So, I'm excited. I already got a bet down on him.
Oh, you and everybody else, buddy.
I know. Whatever, man. I want to get on it before it's dropped.
Well, there you go. So, all right. So, Boston Cap, we don't even need to do a show tomorrow. You're just going to be all heading. So, there you go.
No.
All right. So Justin Rose is here too. He finished 2nd at the Saudi International. He's been hitting the ball a little better lately. So, you know, we'll see about that. Tommy Fleetwood also played okay in the Middle East. I know you hate him. So
he sucks. He chokes it away on Saturday every time. It doesn't matter. And you know what's coming. Every Saturday he's in contention. He shits all over himself.
Well, this time it was Sunday. He shit all over
himself. Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah, there you go. So although I think it's still technically Saturday over here.
That's right. Yeah. My narrative still works, Steve.
Exactly. So, but no, he's in the field. He's been playing. I mean, the problem with Fleetwood was, the Euro Tour stats he puts up are awesome. It's just when he comes to the United States last year, he was bad. So I don't know if it had something to do with COVID and just whatever, but that didn't work out for him. So we'll see. And then, you know, Shane Lowry's here, you know, Robert McIntyre, it's a talented Scottish guy. I really like him. So, you know, we'll see, but this tournament is now at the Concession Golf Club. It got moved from Mexico, last year. And, so I always every week quiz Boston Capital what happened last year. So what happened last year? Did last year's WCC Mexico?
I know I had money on Bryson.
I did too.
And because in my brain, I was like, ooh, different altitude. He's a scientist. Like, he'll figure out the exact fucking bleh. And I remember he did not do well.
No, he was lead. He had like a 3-shot lead on the back nine, dude.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're right. He blew it. That's it.
Yeah. Who the fuck? Patrick Reed ended up beating him. I was not happy. I think it was like 30 or 35 to one, too. I was not happy that Sunday.
Yeah, he was definitely in the 30s. Fuck, yeah. Why did I not? Well, anyway, well, that's my brain.
I mean, that was a painful memory, but I think that final round, JT had a big lead and he blew it. Mm-hmm. Rom, I think, hit a hole in one on Saturday to get him back in the contention. Then he didn't really do much on Sunday.
That sounds right.
But yeah, it was Bryson with like a 2 or 3 shot lead in the back nine. And he just kind of gacked it away.
Yeah.
So we're going to the concession, and I'm not gonna break down every hole. If you want to look on sportsgamblingpodcast.com, you can see, you know all the template holes that are at this golf club. Jack Nicklaus basically created this place to attract Ryder Cups, to attract major championships. And he kind of created this like all-star lineup of some of his favorite holes and templates that just from around golf. And, you know, whether that was on purpose, I mean, it must've been on purpose because he designed it this way.
Right.
Right. But like, I mean, you can see like a lot of par threes, you find it like, you know, there's ones that look exactly like the ones at Riviera, or, you know, there's this token par three that's like 190 yards where the green's angled from left to right. You got to hit a fade in it because Jack only hits fades.
Right.
There's literally a photocopy of the third hole at Bay Hill, where you just got to, it's just a triangle around the lake. There's a lot of holes that are like kind of mirrored, like some of the ones there's a golf course, like, I think the par 5 17th is basically a mirror image of the 18th of PGA National. So, I mean, there's all these different types of holes around the golf course that you can just find everywhere. I mean, it's kind of cool, but like, you know, I think that might be why they never hosted a major, just because it's only identity is the fact it's just hard. It's right. Brutally hard. And like Jack, like, so there's a video I posted and Jack, you know, tried to say like, oh, well, you know, I always try to design a golf course around the land. Well, that's fucking bullshit because I mean, nothing is really, I mean, like the outskirts, like, you know, the woods and everything, that's natural. But I mean, there's so many man-made lakes. He definitely moved a ton of earth in order to create all the undulations and, you know, fairways and these greens too. I mean, like, there's no way these greens were just naturally placed with like.
There's no hills in Florida. I make the joke that like this is one hill on like I-75 on the way down to Tampa, and I'm like, all right, kids, here's the hill in Florida. Here we go. We're going over.
No, and there's literally no even lies at this place. So I mean, like, I can't imagine. And Jack tried to say in the video this 45-minute commercial for Concession Golf Club listen, it's really challenging from the tips. You know, it's 7,400 yards. It's one of the hardest golf courses in America. And if you're a scratch golfer and you play from the tips, you're actually getting 6 shots on the 6 hardest holes. That's how hard it is.
But he tried
to say, oh, well, it's really playable from memory. Well, there's no fucking way. I mean, if you go look at pictures of the bunkers that are at this place, you're not getting out of it. They're crazy. No.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking awesome looking, man. Like,
did you see the bunkers on 10 that I put in the article?
Yes, I did.
But you can't even see the pin.
Yeah, no,
it's unbelievable.
Pretty awesome.
So, I mean, it's, It's going to be interesting to see, though, how the PGA Tour sets us up because of what happened last week, the debacle on Saturday, where they just lost control of the golf course. This is a golf course that can definitely get out of control. I mean, if the winds are up, the greens are so firm and they double cut and roll the greens, which we'll talk about later for a gambling angle, but they roll so fast. There are so many contours to the green. The surrounding areas off the green are a fucking nightmare too. And they're so small, like where you put some of these pins too, like you can really fuck with people if they're off the green and then they got to land on basically like the hood of a Volkswagen in order to get in. Otherwise it's going to run like 20, 30 feet past. Like, yeah, I mean, I think the players, like if they don't, I worry that they're going to soften this golf course up either by, you know, not cutting greens or watering it, maybe slow it down. I mean, they typically try to like to care the players anyways, because they don't like to be challenged like they could be this week.
But would they complain like they normally do since this is Jack's course?
Would
you think so? Even with it being Jack's course, they wouldn't hold it in any type of reverence.
I don't think so. I think that they would go and complain anonymously, of course, the PGA Tour, and they would probably take out the water hoses and do it. You know, when you're looking at this tournament, you know, watch social media, watch players' comments about what they say about the place, you know, like you look for little tidbits about, oh, well, you know, like they start complaining a little bit about the setup, you know, they start talking about how the greens are, maybe they'll keep it that way. But, you know, if there's not really a whole lot of backlash from the players, it might mean that it's going to play a little easier than, you know, what they say. But, it's just as far as what to look for, because this is a new golf course. So tee to green, I think the two closest comparisons are Murfield Village and PGA National. I mean, those are Jack Nicklaus golf courses to begin with. So, and both are just off the tee. They're so demanding. And you have to be able to keep the ball in play. If you don't, you are going to get punished. And, you know, the fairways at the concession are a little wider than Murfield Village and PGA National. There's not a whole lot of rough either than those two places, but there's just as much water. The fairway bunkers are so tough. Like, they kind of remind me of the bunkers they put in at Torrey Pines, where just like these weird puzzle pieces. And like, even if you got a clean lie, like it might be an awkward, you know, stance or angle. Like, it's tough to get to the green from there, especially with how they're contoured too. So, you know, and also if you want a real direct correlation, the sand is imported from Ohio. So it's the same sand as Murfield Village and same like bunker depth and everything.
What?
So that's a nice little, you know,
That is insanity.
Yeah. What? No, they didn't want to get the sand in Florida. They imported the sand from Ohio.
That is some next level fucking shit.
Yeah.
That's all right.
So, I mean, so like tee to green, you know, Murfield Village, PJ National, there's some Bay Hill and Quail Hollow comps. So just because those are really demanding tee to green golf courses, Torrey Pines too. I mean, they look nothing alike, but the same principles. So, you know, tee to green, focus on guys are pretty good there. And then around the greens, though, like we mentioned, like they're so firm. They're so fast. You know, it's really hard to get up and down from there. So, you know, that reminds me of like places like Augusta National, Riviera, which we just saw, Royal Melbourne. I mean, those places are much better golf courses than this one, but the concepts are still the same. It's just, you know, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the pin or else you might three putt. You can't short side yourself. You got to know sometimes it's better to play away from the pin or so you have a better putt. So, you know, it's just overall, this is a very stern test. It's going to be a tough test.
Good. That the makes golf me happy.
The golf course itself, I mean, it's basically Frankenstein's monster with just different parts pulled together from different places and then jammed into this one piece of property. I mean, it is a monster. It's a huge golf course. It's going to be hard. It's going to beat these guys up. And while I probably would never want to play this place, I think it's going to be, if they allow it to play how it plays, I think it's going to be pretty entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it. I mean, this is the type of golf I like to see golfers think their way around the course. You know what I mean? Like, I like to see that. And yeah, I think I'm pretty excited about it. Like, if it's going to play tough, like, I hate the fucking 25 under tournaments. Like, whatever, they're fun for DraftKings, but like, as far as like a product to watch, I like the hard courses better.
Yeah, and I mean, it really just depends on how far they want to push it. I mean, and they can push it. I mean, You know, I was listening to Andy Johnson, the Fried Egg, this morning at his podcast, and they were talking about just like with the beauty of Riviera and Augusta National, like places like that, and that there's some restraint that these golf courses have. Like a lot of these places, like they're really hard, but you know, they do a lot of things there that like a lot of public golf courses too. Jack Nicklaus and Tony Jacklin showed no restraint here. They just jammed every single hard thing they can put into. Like, you know, one of the things that Tony Jacklin, I think, had a big influence on was how much dirt they moved for the fairways. Just a lot of the, like we said, there's a lot of undulations there. Like that's part of links golf. Like you're never going to find a flat lie on that golf course. Yeah. So, and just like, you know, there's really sharp edges around the greens. You know, some of the par threes are modeled after some, you know, British courses over in the UK there. You know, just how the bunkers are shaped. It's like I said, this is Frankenstein's monster. It's just, they basically took a lot of different things and tried to make this all-star golf course. And it's just, the only identity you have is just, it's really hard.
Okay. Listen, should make this some good watches. Now you said in the article that it's not really going to play like, I don't know if you said in the article or in Slack actually, that it's not going to play like Bermuda.
So
on the greens, anyway. On the greens.
Yeah. So, well, this also depends on how they want to set it up. So one way, if they want to slow it on the greens, they don't double cut and roll it. So what double cut and rolling does, it basically takes all the grain out of the green. So the whole reason why we use, like, you know, when you go to Fantasy National, look at the strokes gained Bermuda stats. Guys who are good at putting on Bermudas are good because they know how to putt with grain. So if you take like a flat surface, but the grain is going different directions, it's going to putt differently. But here, if you take all the grain out, then it's going to roll more like a bent grass or a poa. It's just going to roll based on how the contours of the green are and, you know, how it's sloped. So I think a lot of the advantages, if they cut it this way, are going to be taken away from guys who just would be good at Bermuda greens. Cause like a lot of those are like places like Wailea, Kapalua, Sedgefield. Those are relatively flat greens, but they're straight Bermuda. You know, you got to worry about grain and everything, but you go to places like, you know, Bay Hill, like that's a Bermuda green, but it's lightning fast. Like green, you know, grain doesn't really matter as much, but you know, it's probably going to roll more like a Murfield Village if they allow it to. Now, if they want to slow it down, then they won't double cut and roll it. Then it's going to roll more like a traditional Bermuda green. That's when you want to try to go for those guys. But from where I'm standing right now, I'm actually looking more towards how they put on the lightning fast or fast greens. I think that's a better comparable than just
the Bermuda.
Straight Bermuda. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think there is some merit though to still looking at how guys do on Bermuda golf courses, because I think there is something to like chipping off tight Bermuda lines.
Dude,
doing that a lot.
It's a fucking, or even nightmare.
Like there's a difference between like hitting balls out of the rough from bent grass, cause the ball kind of sits up, or even the fairway or Bermuda, it just lays straight down. So
dude, it's a shit show.
It is. So I think if you want to look at Bermuda, I think looking at like performance tee to green is good, because that's how like they interact with the turf, like when they're hitting like full shots or chipping off them. I think that's useful, but I think it really depends on how closely mown they want to cut these greens. And if they double cut and roll them, then all the grain's going to be gone. And then it's kind of like just putting on bent grass or poa. I mean, you don't have to worry about grain or anything. And then that, you know, strokes gained Bermuda stat is kind of
out
useless.
The window. Yeah, it's out the window. Huh. All right. That is I wonder who we can follow to try to find out what those are going to roll like, other than just like, are they going to do any type, like they've been doing, to do any type of Wednesday charity?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Maybe we watch that, but unfortunately that means you can't really put a bet down until Wednesday. But I mean, like overall though, like if you look at some of the guys who are really good on putting Bermuda, they usually putt every surface pretty well. Like Webb Simpson. Like you look at, I mean, he puts well on Poa, puts well on Bermuda, puts well on bent grass. So I always get impacted. Like Jason Day is the same way. So like, I think it's only like the guys, like when you click that box and they just show really well on Bermuda, but they don't show really well on everything else. Like, I think like a Kevin Kisner, I don't think he's a very good putter. Like, I mean, I could be.
Oh, this is, wrong, and this, like, is, I, and this is longish. This is a wicked long course for him too.
All right. Well, I'm just talking about putting stats.
All right, I know. But
so, like a Bermuda specialist, I think he is.
Yeah,
but
that sounds right.
You know, Southern I mean, boy. Yes, but like that might, like you might click that and be like, oh, well, it's Bermuda greens. He should putt well here. But if it's not really rolling like that, he doesn't have the advantage. So, or like actually, I think of one. So Tony Finau does not putt well very well in Bermuda, but he putts relatively well on Bentgrass and Poa. That could be a guy where if they double cut and roll the greens and they're really running pretty fast, that could actually help him a little bit.
Probably so, nice if his number wasn't so goddamn short this week.
I know, but I'm just trying to think of a guy who I know is a bad putter on Bermuda who, if they don't roll like that, that might actually help him. So we'll see. Just as far as we have to, like, I'm really going to focus on scrambling. Like, it's going to be so hard. Like, kind of like with Torrey Pines or last week, just guys who can get up and down from anywhere are going to be pretty good. I did a composite, like, you know, look back of like guys at places like Murphy Village, PJ National, Riviera, Bay Hill, Torrey Pines, Quail Hell. You know, you can find all their course history at those places. You do like composite average, and then that kind of spits out guys who are generally pretty good at these like big demanding ballparks.
Yeah.
I think some people might make a little bit about, you know, that the 2015 NCAAs were there. I'm not going to care about that, especially when it comes to Bryson. Bryson is a completely different player.
And so, they're not going to set it up like a fucking college tournament either.
No, they won't. I mean, I don't even think they play the back tees on that. So, I think the only other lean too is, don't try and guess what clubs these guys are going to hit into greens. I mean, I've heard a couple of people try and speculate, oh, well, they think it's going to be like a wedge course because they got a layup in par fives or there's a short par four. Like, they're probably only going to be hitting these clubs maybe 10 times total into greens all week. Like, and we don't truly know how they're going to play this because there is a lot to think about when you're off the tee. Like, there are options. You can either lay back, you know, so you just stay safe, or you can try and take on the bunkers for a shorter shot, but every guy's different. So, you know, I would just focus on just your ball striking stats, you know, around the green, course history at the correlated places. Don't try and guess the range of where guys are going to try and hit clubs because you just don't know. I mean, I don't even know because it depends on just like the strategy you want to take. If the fairways are running pretty firm, like if you hit it through the chute, it's going to roll a long ways. Maybe they can get a wedge, but you know, if it lands in a bunker, then you know, you're pretty far back. So I just,
I know you wanted to use a wedge on this hole, sir, but you're using a five iron.
Right. So, these greens are so firm and contoured anyways, like, you can't go pin hunting. I think proximity stats are only really good when you actually fire at pins. You can't do that here.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's good knowledge, man. It's good knowledge. I wish there was a cut. I hate no fucking cuts.
Well, I mean, that means you can kind of take some swings of guys, though, like, you know, under $7,000. Like,
for DFS, as far as betting goes, they said, like, I think what? Like, nobody outside of the top 20 has won this thing in the last, like, 10 years or something like that.
So I have the list. So it's this event, you know, which was the WGC Mexico, it was the Cadillac, it's now the Workday. Yeah. And then it was the St. Jude's and the Bridgestone. I mean, those two events are basically the same. Like, the match play, you get long shot winners because it's match play.
Right.
You just never know. And then at the WGC, HSBC in China, I mean, that's just a weird part of the year. Like, that mostly gets there, but you see more long shots win there just because it's the fall. Not all the good players are going over to China. So, but it's this one. That's where they draw everybody. And there's only been three guys over 30-1 to win either of these two events since 2013. It was Patrick Reed, who did it twice. He was 55-1 last year to win Mexico, and he won 80-1 in 2014. Now, I mean, it's Patrick Reed. He's won 10, what, 9 times on tour. He's a major champion.
Yeah.
That's not exactly like an nowhere long shot. And then Shane Lowry, who back in 2015, he was kind of out of nowhere. He's 110-1, but then he ended up winning a major championship. So, I mean, he's a good player. So
I love Shane Lowry, dude. I
like but like other than that, no one over 30-1 has won since 2013. It's been your Brooks Koepkas, Justin Thomas, you know, Phil Mickelson was 20-1 when he won in 18. You know, DJ's won this a bunch of times. Rory won it a couple of times. And then Tiger obviously is the king of WGC. He just owns this thing. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go looking for a long shot, probably look for someone who is at least has a decorated history, I guess. Like I don't think like this is going to be a place.
You don't think an up and coming can take it?
Not like
I mean, Reed won it twice. If he was 80-1, he wasn't.
Well,
he wasn't
Reed was already, I think, a 2-time winner when he won.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah. So, and then, I mean, Lowry won a bunch of times over in Europe before he won. I mean, Hideki won in 2017, but he was 18-1. He won. He had a big year that year, so that wasn't really a surprise. I mean, I don't think like I'll just say the name. I was looking at Scottie Scheffler this week. He's like 50-1. I don't think this is going to be where he wins it the first time. I mean, or like a Joaquin Neiman either. Like, I like Neiman. Do I think he's going to get a second win here? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, although he's 40-1. I don't know. He's 40-1. But like, I mean, who else? Like,
what about Cam? What about Smith, dude? You want to talk about a guy who did not perform on fucking Sunday? Holy shit. And he still was right there.
Why don't we save him for tomorrow? Because he's an interesting conversation. So
okay, cool. Sorry. Talking golf, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, we don't want to spoil the picture show. I mean, I'm still trying to formulate an opinion on him, but I guess
I was looking at him today too.
Long story short, with outrights this week, don't go nuts. I mean, it's probably going to be someone under 30-1, probably under 25-1 that ends up winning this thing.
Yeah. Well, that's no fun. So, side note. Do you know who, where'd that guy's face go? Lucas Herbert is?
Yeah, I do.
Have you seen a picture of this dude?
I mean, I know the name.
I advise you and everyone listening to go to pgatour.com and go ahead and click field and take a look at Mr. Herbert Lucas. This man's ear is one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Okay. Does that mean you're going to bet on him? Because he's got crazy ear?
Maybe. All right, there you go. It might help in wind conditions.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's something that my stat model does not account for.
That's funny. All right, so we know the kind of players are going to tag it. First time course, like, sounds really hard. I hope they keep it hard, man. I hope they don't kowtow to the players, man. I really hope they don't. Really, really hope they don't. I know they're going to.
I mean, the PGL is a never ending threat to them. So they have to kowtow to these players in order to make sure they're happy. So that's why they keep throwing more money at these guys, you know, just so they don't start getting tempted by the Saudis over there to go play their golf courses.
I mean, I'm sure guys could do that for a little bit, but like, they're not really going to go over there and do that. You know what I mean? Like, unless
the PGL is bankrolled by the Saudis.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is I don't think guys are really good, would ever make the actual move. Right. Like,
money talks, and they're not happy with
dude, these guys, like the guys that we're talking about, especially in an event like this, these guys make so much money, man. Like, it doesn't matter. It's not even about the tournament. It's about the sponsorship money and everything else. Like, these guys make plenty of money. Anybody in this tournament other than, I don't know. I don't know anything about the European guys and how much money they make, but every American that's in this tournament makes fucking money.
All right. Well, it doesn't help to piss off your players by setting up a bad golf course for them. So
that's fair. Whatever. Bunch of whiny little babies. Anyway.
Exactly.
All right, man. So we got anything else we want to hit on this?
No, I think that's it. I think it's time to, look at the field, digest some stats, and we'll be back tomorrow. Break it all down.
Yep, that's it, man. So we'll be back tomorrow night. We'll break down the DFS and our betting picks. So for myself, Boston Capper, and the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Boys, I guess we'll be doing green screens again this week. Hopefully. Let's go.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.